welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today, we're bringing you part one of an original story by Daniel Hines, Amazing Grace, Crooked Rivers, Crooked Men, a new installment of our Amazing Grace series performed for you by Kelsey Lee. If you're not familiar with Amazing Grace, the Eco Ranger and her robot sidekick, Chips, you can find them in two previously released episodes in our feed, or if you're a Patreon subscriber, we posted them yesterday, so they'd be easy to find. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Adia, Bosker, and Rada and their family, Alex and her family in Beijing, China, Astraeus and Serenity and their family in Eugene, Oregon, Teddy and his family in Dallas, Texas, Beatrice and Jack and their family in New York City, and Michael and Mia Mano and their family in Fort Lauderdale. Thank you so much, Mia, Michael, Jack, Beatrice, Teddy, Serenity, Astraeus, Alex, Rada, Bosker, and Adia. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and get every episode ad-free, head over to patreon.com/stories and join for just $1 a month. If you'd like access to all of our ebooks or to receive a thank you in a future episode, that's also available at patreon.com/stories. We have new Stories Podcast face masks available. Check those out, plus all of our other merch at storiespodcast.com/shop. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast. If you send us a drawing of your favorite scene or character, we'll share it on our feed. Now here's a word from our sponsors.
Studies show that kids are getting behind in math because of the pandemic, and I didn't want that to happen to my daughter, Grace. So I set her up with a free consultation with Mathnasium.
Mathnasium is a great place for kids in grades 2 through 12 to learn math. They teach in a way that makes sense to kids, and they make it fun. Your kid can learn in-center or online, whichever way works best for you. Either way, it's the same face-to-face learning with instructors who really care.
When Grace sat down for her consultation, they did a quick assessment and helped her through some math problems. Her instructors were really knowledgeable and patient and explained things to her in a way that really helped her understand. Afterwards, they sent me a full write-up of Gracie's math strengths and needs and how they're making a lesson plan just for her so she can get the exact right support.
Whether you're looking to get your kids back on track or want to ensure that they're staying ahead with their math studies, schedule a free consultation with Mathnasium today. You can find a center near you at mathnasium.com, then call them for a free in-person or online consultation. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! Amazing Grace, Crooked Rivers, Crooked Men, Part 1.
In the black depths of space, where starships travel faster than the law, there is a new and wild frontier. Colonists settle strange planets, pirates smuggle exotic goods, and bold heroes eke out livings with the sweat of their brows and the triggers of their blasters. In this brave new world, there is one girl dedicated to protecting the defenseless creatures of the universe. She is Amazing Grace, Princess of Space, the best of the Eco Rangers. Chapter 1. The starship Walden floats peacefully in space, silhouetted by the twin suns of the Sanfod system. The stars burn giant and red, moving molten like balls of lava. There are no planets here, just the suns circling each other in an elegant dance of gravity and inertia. It's a place of quiet power that Grace comes to recharge, both figuratively and literally. "Solar batteries nearly full, Captain," says Chips over the ship's speakers. "And we have a call coming in for you." Inside the ship, Grace Green leans forward intently. The hooked blade of her knife gleams red in the sunlight pouring through the giant windows. "Almost finished here," she says. With a steady hand, she hooks the blade of the pruning knife into a little bush and cuts free a crowded limb. It falls into a small pile of others, and Grace waves at the spreading purple plant. "Perfect! Doesn't that feel better?" The plant wiggles its remaining branches in reply. Grace smiles and floats out of the room and into the cockpit of the ship. Chips, her robotic companion, sits at the controls. An array of blinking lights and toggle switches is spread before him. He looks vaguely human, with clever four-fingered hands and eyes that animate on an OLED screen. "Call is from the Zardy colony," he says, spinning her chair with a metal leg so she can float right into it. "Putting them on." A screen in the cockpit dashboard snaps to life, showing an alien with head fronds and jade skin, veined and whorled like marble.
Hello. Is this the Walden? I'm looking for Grace Green.
You've got her, Grace says. What can I do for you?
Oh, thank the stars, the alien says. I'm Zarlo, leader of the Zardi colony. We've been trying to get in touch with an eco-ranger for months now.
Well, there aren't many of us left, Grace says with a sad smile. The pay isn't great, and the more galaxy we discover, the more dangerous it gets.
Well, we're happy to hear back from you, princess.
Chips laughs, and Grace winces. Just Grace is fine, she says. The princess title came up on occasion, but it wasn't something she liked to advertise. It's not like her dad was a real king or anything.
Well, Grace, Zarlo says, brushing back her fronds. I won't sugarcoat it. We have some kind of alien slime causing all manner of trouble for us here. It's been infecting the local wildlife and making them violent. We tried to send some scouts to track down the source, but they've all been driven back by the creatures.
I'm assuming you've tried going up in an airship?
We tried, Zarlo says. The local wildlife here is dominated by something called a lanceling. Big flying predators. They generally leave us alone when we stick to the ground, but the sky is theirs. Anything smaller than a full-on starship takes off, they'll swarm it.
So some kind of alien goo is messing up the local ecosystem? Grace says. Sounds right up our alley.
Oh yeah, says Chips, rolling his animated eyes. We just love goo. It's our favorite after scum, gunk, and detritus.
Ignore the rust bucket, Grace says. We'll be there in a day or so.
Oh, and slime. How could I forget slime?
Zarlo laughs.
All right, then. We'll see you soon.
She sends over the coordinates, and Chips punches them in. Soon, the galaxy is smearing and folding around the Walden as it blasts into hyperspace to skip across the stars. Chapter 2. The planet Zardi is small and scarlet. Its water is a deep, rolling purple. The colony city shines with light, the single glowing point of civilization on the recently settled world. As the Walden drops through the atmosphere, flaring its landing jets, giant birds swirl up from the ground. They're easily 10 meters wide, wings fuzzy like a bat's, but their bodies look more like Earth's tigers. They circle the ship, roaring and hissing.
Lancelings, huh? Grace says. I see how they'd be tough to share the skies with.
One of the giant flying creatures flashes by the window, baring its teeth. Its top is striped scarlet and gray, its belly an ultra-bright sky blue, perfect camouflage for flying. The lancelings follow the Walden almost all the way to the ground, finally peeling off when it comes to a rest on the launch pad.
Grace, happy you could make it, said Zarlo over the intercom. I see you've met the welcoming committee.
Sure have, Grace says back. Better than a pack of security drones.
Hungrier too, Chip says. Well, those are the nice ones, says Zarlo. The infected, well, you'll see. They sound lovely, says Chips.
I'll be out in a few. Grace takes a moment to put on her gear. She dons her Green Ranger coveralls, under which she wears her Dracoderm armor, capable of stopping a blaster rifle or alien claw, as long as they aren't too close. The armor also has her computer and comms system in the wrist. Once dressed, she clips on her utility belt and then straps her own stun blaster to her thigh. Finally, she pulls what looks like a plastic retainer out of her belt and bites into it. It forms to her teeth, and a gel drips out, allowing her to breathe on the alien planet. Her armor has a helmet that can unroll from her neck and cover her face, but she prefers to feel the open air.
Chips, she says. Watch my back from the Walden, okay? I'm going to try to find a sample of the alien infection so we can see what we're up against. This could be a symbiote, like on Broxteria, or it could be an asteroid mold, like we saw in Vero 6.
Be careful, then, Chips says. That mold disintegrated my feet and almost had you for dessert.
How could I be dessert? No one's sweeter than you, buddy.
Ha ha, Chip says sarcastically. Have fun with your strange goo, Captain. Grace winks and then opens the Walden's exterior door. Right away, she is hit by the planet's heavy, alien air. With every breath, she feels more like she's chewing than breathing. The nanogel that molded to her teeth lets her survive, but everything tastes like steaming mildew. On the landing pad,
Zarlo is waiting for her, head fronds swaying in the wind.
Grace, she says, touching her elbow and then shoulder in some greeting ritual. Thanks space you're here. The creatures have completely taken over the swamp to the east of town, and if they get any closer, our whole colony will be overrun.
Grace nods. You don't have any samples, do you? I'd like to see what I'm up against.
We don't keep any, Zarlo says with a shake of her head. Anything it touches, it seems to corrupt. It didn't feel safe to keep in town. There's plenty in the swamp, though, just a few clicks out. It's sort of a neon yellow color, but shiny like an oil spill. You'll know it if you see it.
All right, Grace says. Then that's where I'm headed.
A small crowd has gathered on the landing pad, all of them with the same head fronds and marbled jade skin as Zarlo. They peer at Grace curiously and whisper among themselves in an alien language.
Is this whole colony your people? Grace asks.
It is, Zarlo replies. We're Harrians. The air is too thick for most species with not enough to breathe, but it's perfect for us. Just like home, which is why we picked it for our colony. This place, well, this place was supposed to be our second chance. Our new home. I'm just afraid we're going to lose it.
Don't worry about it, Grace says, touching her elbow and shoulder in a mirror of Zarlo's greeting. I'm on the case.
Thank you so much. We need this colony to work. We've built as best we could, and this infection, it could ruin everything. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm afraid. You know what I mean?
Of course, says Grace.
Like Thoreau always said, what good's a house without a good planet to put it on?
Chapter 3. The swamp buzzes, croaks, gargles, and snorts with life, washed over with stinking purple waters. Grace picks her way through carefully, testing each piece of scarlet ground with a stick before she steps on it. The path is narrow and winding, surrounded on all sides by treacherous sinkholes, bubbling like they're at a low boil.
How's it going so far? Chip asks over the comms. Having fun in the scum?
You'd love it, says Grace, hopping over a gurgling pit. So many things for you to complain about.
That does sound nice, but I'm happy in the ship.
I'll bring some pond water back for you to play with.
No thanks, you're too kind.
Grace presses on, moving into a patch of scarlet trees the same color as the ground. Here she sees signs of animal life. There are small hopping creatures that seem to stick and slide around the trees, and slithering alien lizards that disappear into the swampy sinkholes around the roots.
No sign of the infection yet, Grace says.
Wait a minute, something up ahead here. Going quiet.
She puts her back to the smooth red bark of a tree and listens. There is something big ahead, ripping through the grass and stomping around. It's so loud, Grace can feel it rattling her teeth. Carefully, she peers around the trunk. Two animals have squared off in a clearing. One is a lanceling, wings held close to its body, looking awkward on the ground. The other is some kind of burrowing worm, its body thick around as the tree trunk, its mouth bristling with hook-barbed tendrils. Both animals are coated in a neon yellow slime, and both seem to be angry beyond all reason. The worm shakes and ripples, half its body still in the swampy ground. It trills aloud and lunges forward. The lanceling shrieks and swipes back, using the barbs on the end of its wings. But the clearing is too tight. One of its wings catches a weird mushroom-like growth on a tree and gets stuck. The worm powers through the opening and slams into the lanceling's tiger body, wrapping it with its hooked mouth tendrils. With a triumphant trill, it drags itself backwards, and both creatures disappear into a sinkhole in the ground with a muddy burble.
Well, that was something, Chip says. Grace knows he's keeping an eye on her through the camera on her comms.
At least they left a little behind.
Grace comes out from behind the tree and walks to where the infected creatures were fighting. There's a little chunk of neon yellow blood on the ground, and Grace scoops it up with a sleek analyzer wand from a belt pouch.
Sending you a sample now.
The wand buzzes and chirps and grows red hot and then ice cold in Grace's hand.
Got it, says Chips. Ship's computer is running it now.
It was coding the animals here, she says.
My guess is it's some kind of moss or algae, maybe a fungus, something that spreads fast. My guess is something terrible that is going to try to rust my rotors.
That's the spirit, Grace says. Huh, that's strange.
What is it, Chips? Symbiote? Moss? Fungus? Is there a fungus among us?
It's not a life form at all, Chips says. It's some kind of industrial byproduct. It's... Oh, Grace, that's biotoxic waste.
We should have known, Grace sighs. Those big megacorps think they can just strip these backwater planets of everything useful and leave the sludge behind.
They get rich and we get cleanup duty.
Oh, I'm going to clean up all right, Grace nearly growls. Use the Walden scanners and find where the biotoxic waste is heaviest.
Grace hears his fingers on the keys and the computer beeps.
Got it. Sending you the coordinates. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that'll be where they are.
Who is they?
Whoever is dumping this stuff. We're going to pay them a visit.
Oh, wonderful. Should I call for Ranger support, or should I just skip right to the ambulance?
Get them both, Chips, Grace says. I'm heading out. The new coordinates flash up on her wrist display, and she gets hiking. It looks like the biotoxic waste is concentrated on a tall, craggy mesa. It's only a few clicks away. Grace pushes through the swamps, and the signs of infection grow stronger as she walks. Insects and small creatures glisten neon yellow, buzzing and clicking at her. The stunted trees and creeping vines are soon coated yellow as well. In the distance, she sees a few more infected lancelings and a sinkhole worm wriggling across grassy berm. There are sounds of other fights, wild screams and crashes, and crunchy thumps.
I'm close, she says. It's so bad here, Chips. Whoever is dumping this waste, they've covered everything out here. Make sure you tell the Rangers to bring in a cleanup crew.
Calling it in now, he says. And hey, when you find these guys, stun them once for me.
Once if they're lucky, Grace says.
The swamp dries as the land slopes gently upward. Suddenly, Grace comes over a low rise and sees the mesa before her. It's impressive in person, a flat-topped mountain thrusting up from the ground like a scarlet fist. There's no immediate sign of a door or an entrance of any kind. She circles around it from a distance and finally spots what she's looking for. High above the ground, a tunnel is bored into the side of the mountain. A giant Durasteel pipe has been driven in, and a neon yellow goo is dripping steadily out.
Found it, Chips, she says. You seeing this? The runny nose, about a couple hundred meters up?
Such lovely imagery, he replies. I see it. Scans are showing some kind of structure hidden within the mesa. That must be where they're producing the biotoxic waste.
Right, Grace says, checking on the small thrusters in her boots. Here's the plan. I'm going to climb up there and sneak in through that pipe. Once I'm in, I'll shut down whatever operation is pumping this garbage out, and I'll arrest everyone involved.
I've sent word to the Rangers, but I haven't gotten any reply yet. I think you should wait for backup, but since I know you aren't going to, I'll just wish you luck on your climb.
Good robot, Grace says. She gives her gear a final check and then heads towards the mountain and whatever evil may lay inside.
Chapter 4. Grace grunts, climbing hand over hand, her feet digging for toeholds in the craggy side of the mesa. It's a steeper climb than it looked from the swamp, and her muscles are groaning in protest. Part of her is wishing she could just fly up, but the occasional swooping lanceling reminds her why climbing is a better idea. Still, the scarlet rock is old and brittle. If she grabs too small a chunk, it snaps off in her hand, threatening to spill her to the rocky ground below.
About halfway up, Chips, she says, resting for a moment on a ledge. This is tough work.
Be careful, the robot replies. You lost your parachute in that fire on Deleon's moon, remember?
Grace grunts in reply, hauling herself up another meter. She is acutely aware of her lack of parachute, and she's taking every reach and grab with care. Her armor has small jump jets in the boots, but those wouldn't be enough to save her if she fell. They only trigger enough to carry her jumps a little higher. The Dracoderm is tough, but wrap an egg in iron and drop it off a cliff, it'll still be scrambled in the end. A few meters to her side,
the neon yellow pollution is running steadily down the mountain. It mingles with a little stream and runs fast and gunky all the way down the mesa into the swamp below. Above her, the pipe looms, another 50 or so meters up. This close, she can see the waste isn't running too deep, and the tunnel is easily tall enough for her to walk into. First, she has to reach it, though. She hauls herself up another meter, arms and back growing tired and sore, and then she pauses. Somewhere nearby, Grace hears an animal calling. It's not like the angry howls she's been hearing from the infected. No, it's gentle, almost kittenish meow. She listens closely and spots its source, a jumbled tangle of old branches. It's jammed into a crevice in the side of the mountain, filling a hole a couple meters across. A nest, Grace whispers to herself. It's built almost right under the dripping biotoxic waste, but she can hear the crying inside. You hear that, Chips? She says. Gotta be a baby lanceling. I'm sure its mother will be back soon, he says. So maybe hurry before you're chewed up and then regurgitated as a snack. Grace nods, and then pauses. I gotta check on it first, she says. What if its mother was one of the infected? I can't just leave it. Good point, he says. Leave no chick or kitten or whatever behind. Just be careful in the ooze. I'm not giving you a bath. Grace grins and starts to climb sideways. Her arms feel like they're on fire now, and there aren't a lot of great places to grab. She does her best not to look down and finally makes her way to the nest. Inside, a little lanceling, no bigger than a puppy, is meowing frantically. He's far too skinny, his small bones showing through his fuzzy coat. His face is kittenish, but his wings are already wider than Grace's tall. Oh, you poor thing, Grace says. She looks at the starving lanceling and then makes a split-second decision. Come on, she says, extending one arm into the nest. Come with me. It's okay. You sure this is a good idea? Says Chips. No, but look. The biotoxic waste is practically dripping into his nest, and he looks starved half to death. His mother must have gotten infected. If we leave him, he'll die for sure. I can't disagree. You're the expert on adopting strange, potentially deadly alien animals, Chips replies. Oh, and you have a meal bar in your belt pouch. Should be fine for the little nipper to eat. Grace hauls herself up and sits on the edge of the nest. The lanceling cocks its head and chirps at her curiously. Here you go, boy, she says, pulling the bar out of the pouch and offering it to him. Go on, eat it. It's okay. The lanceling folds its wings in close and totters over. Its kittenish mouth takes the bar from Grace's hand and swallows a small piece. It must find it tasty, because it starts to devour the bar in huge bites, purring all the while. Good boy, she says, patting him gently between the ears while he scarfs it down. Now the question is, do I give you a cat name or a bird name? You're sort of right in between, so I'm pretty torn. What do you think, boy? The lanceling finishes eating the bar and then lets out a sound somewhere between a purr and a burp. Grace laughs and lets the creature sniff at her hands for crumbs. How about an eating name, then? I'll call you Munch. The creature finished its hunt and started rubbing its ears against Grace's hands, purring softly and rustling his wings. You like it, huh? Well, all right, Munch. We gotta finish this climb. I'd leave you here, but I'm not planning on climbing back down this way when I'm done. Let me see what I can rig up for you. Grace takes some tough cord from another pouch on her belt and ties a simple harness over her back. The lanceling seems happy to be placed inside, with his chest to Grace's back, his wings curled about his body. Once settled, his face peeks out over Grace's shoulder. She stands up in the nest and gives the pack a couple bounces. You all right back there?
Meow.
All right, let's get going. Grace starts climbing up towards the pipe again, her body moving a little faster after the short rest. A few minutes later, she's just a couple meters under the pipe. Of course, she's slightly off to one side to avoid the dripping yellow goo. Now what? She asks herself. Around the pipe, the mesa is smooth, like it was flattened by whatever heavy equipment installed the tunnel. There isn't a single place to grab on, nothing at all to climb.
Grace pauses, clinging to her last handhold, the lanceling purring in her ear.
Hold on, Munch, she says, shifting her weight. This is going to be a little dicey.
Meow.
She throws herself up with her hands and pushes off as best as she can with her feet, grunting with the effort. The jump jets in her boots trigger and she sails awkwardly through the air. Luckily, her aim is good, and she caroms into the pipe, nearly cracking her head on its ceiling. She flails and then lands with a splash in the steady trickle of yellow slime.
Ugh, you okay?
She says over her shoulder. The lanceling chirp meows in response.
Good. Sorry for the rough landing.
She stands up in the tunnel and checks over her equipment. Her armor kept the biotoxic waste from getting on her, but it burns several small holes in her Eco-Ranger jumpsuit. Seeing that, she double-checks on Munch, but he's clean.
All right, boy, I'd leave you here, but there's no safe place. It's just a creepy tunnel and toxic waste. Looks like you're sticking with me. Ready to come along for a ride?
Meow!
The lanceling chirps in her ear.
Good boy!
Grace activates her armor's helmet. It unrolls from her neck and over her head. The front is a transparent faceplate with a display, and it automatically compensates for the darkness. She can see deeper into the tunnel now in shades of gray and green. It seems to stretch on endlessly, but somewhere ahead she can hear the clang, whir, chug of operating machinery.
Okay, Gracie baby, she says to herself. Time to clean up this mess.
She draws her stun blaster and takes a deep breath. Lanceling purring softly in her ear, she makes her way forward into the heart of the mountain.
To be continued. Today's story was part one of Amazing Grace, Crooked Rivers, Crooked Men, an original story written for you by Daniel Hines and performed for you by Kelsey Lee. Don't forget to tune in to part two later this week. And for more Amazing Grace, you can find her in two previous episodes available if you scroll back in our feed or subscribe to our Patreon, where we just reposted them. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a five-star review on iTunes, get ad-free episodes and more at patreon.com/stories, check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.